Thank you, Steve. I would ask for your prayers tonight, as I always do, because I know that I need them. This is probably the hardest part of the responsibility that I have, and the privilege is standing before the Lord's people, and I know that I need thy help, your help. And thinking on this week, my thoughts have been drawn to about Thanksgiving, and that we need to be thankful for the many blessings we have. For I know that each of us has been blessed and watched over and cared for. And we want need to thank the Lord for these blessings. I'd like to read just a short psalm here to start. This is the 100th psalm. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. And again, I believe we do have so many things to be thankful for. Need to be thankful for this church we belong to Christ Church. We need to be thankful for this. We need to be thankful that we are in this church and are able to share in this love that the Lord has for us, for his church, for his people. And I believe we need to be thankful to be able to share in the love that we have for our Heavenly Father. I believe that's so important, the love that we have for our Heavenly Father. And the love that we have for each other and those around us. And again, it's something that we need to have. And it seems like in the past few years, I know in our family, that we've had many things that have happened. I know we've had a few trials of the loss of my dad, and Diane with her blood clot that she had, the problem there, and the trouble I had and trial with my ankle. But believe that the Lord did help us through all these trials that we have had and a few of the troubles that we have from day to day. I also believe that it's been love from our brothers and sisters also that have helped us make it through these times. And I believe that should be so important to us, this love that we have for each other. It should be part of our daily lives. And I know right now there are many that are going through trials and troubles. They need our prayers and they need our help. And I know it is comforting when someone will come up to you and they visit with you and talk to you and you hear that they've been praying for you, and this is a great comfort to us and should be. And I do believe it helps us through these times of trouble and trials that we may have. And I think we should be thankful that we have, like I said, this that we can depend on, and we have our Heavenly Father to go to in these times, and that our brothers and sisters can go to in these times for us. And again, we need to be thankful for each other's prayers and for our help. I'd like to go over and read a scripture in the Book of Mormon on page 212. And this is in the Book of Mosiah, King Benjamin's proclamation. I'd like to read just a few verses here, starting with the 48th verse. Behold, I say unto you, that because I said unto you that I had spent my days in your service, I do not desire to boast, for I have only been in the service of God. And behold, I tell you these things, that you may learn wisdom, that you may learn that when you are in service of your fellow beings, ye are only in the service of your God. Behold, ye have called me your king, and if I, whom ye call your king, do labor to serve you, then had not ye ought to labor to serve one another. Behold also, if I, whom ye call your king, who has spent his days in your service, and yet has been in the service of God, does merit any thanks from you, how had ye ought to thank your heavenly Father. And I believe we need to do this. We need to thank our Heavenly Father again for the many blessings that we have received. And I'd like to bring out just a few more scriptures tonight, some of the things that have been on my mind this week and should be important to us in the day and the time that we live in. We know that there are so many things that are happening around us. And I know these scriptures, that we need them in our lives. And the first one I'd like to read just a few scriptures on is love. A love for our Heavenly Father, a love for our neighbors, and a love for our brothers and sisters, and for our enemies. The first one is, I'd like to go to Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Probably one of our most read scriptures that we have. And I'd like to read just a few verses here, starting with the 36th verse. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and the great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And a lot of times I read this to myself, and often, but I wonder, does my life show the love that I have for the Lord? Does the way I lead my life show the love I have for my Lord and the love that I have for my neighbors, the love I have for my brothers and sisters? And I believe our life does need to show this love that we have. It needs to be evident in our life. I'd like to also turn into Matthew in the 5th chapter. Start with the 43rd verse here. Ye have heard that it has been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And when I read this, do I love my enemies? Or can I love my enemies? If I can't, again, I have a lot of work to do in my life. A lot of things that I need to change in my life. We do have to be able to have this love in our lives that we can even love our enemies. And I believe this is probably going to be more evident as time goes by, the love that we'll need in our lives. I'd like to turn over now to another scripture in John. Again, I won't bring out any new scripture to us tonight. These are all scripture I believe we all probably almost know by heart. This is in the 3rd chapter. in the 16th and 17th verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And to me, this is such a great scripture, thinking of the love that the Lord has for us, because I wonder at times if we can even really comprehend this love that he gave his Son for us, if we even truly comprehend this. I'd like to go over into Romans in the 8th chapter. And this is, I'd like to read, start with the 31st verse. And this is one of my favorite scriptures. And to me, it should be so uplifting to us in our daily lives. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And to me that is so uplifting, that no one can separate us from this love that God has for us. I'd like to read a little more also in 1 John, in the 3rd chapter. And I think I'll read, starting with the 16th verse here. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought also to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso has this world's good and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And again, I believe that we need to have this love where it is evident in our lives, in the things we do, the way we treat people or help people, and just the way we lead our lives. It should be a witness of this love that we have for our Heavenly Father. I turn also into 1 John in the 4th chapter and start with the 4th verse here. You're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And I think that's so important also, that we have this Spirit from our Heavenly Father in our lives and at work in our lives. I know that we need his Spirit. And I believe that we do have this love for our Heavenly Father. And I believe it is our desire that we are doing the things that are right before him, that are pleasing before him. And the next thing that was kind of on my mind and what I wanted to bring out is following the commandments of God. And I believe these kind of worked together to me. And it's kind of been on my mind for some time, is following the commandments of God, that we need to be doing these things. And to me, they kind of work together, because we have this love for our Heavenly Father. It is going to be our desire to be following his commandments, to be doing those things that are right before him. And if we are doing these things, we will have the love for our Heavenly Father in our lives. I'd like to go over into John in the 15th chapter. Let's start with the 7th verse here. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye may bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. And again, I believe we need this love for one another. And one of the verses here has kind of stayed with me. And this is the 13th verse. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And it's kind of really stayed in my mind quite a bit since, I believe it was our brother Steve. And I don't remember if it was in a testimony and service in one of our homes who we used to go to, or if it was here, but that he brought out that he didn't know whether he would be able to give his life. Not sure exactly his words, but give up his life this way. But the thought came to him that we may not have to do this. We may not have to give our life, but that we need to be able to give of what we have. And I believe that's so important. We may have to give of what we have, which, whatever it may be, our time, maybe money, our prayers, our help. We may be required to give of what people are needing. And I think that's important, that our life is in a condition that we can do this. I'd like to go back into First John in the third chapter. Start with the 16th verse. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso has this world's good, and see his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemneth, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemneth not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit that he has given us. Again, I believe it is so important that we are following his commandments. And again, we want his Spirit to be with us. His Spirit to lead us and direct us. I'd like to go back into John in the 14th chapter. And start with the 15th verse. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live. Ye shall live also. And that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that has my commandments, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. And I believe again, like I said earlier, that we have this love for our Heavenly Father. We are going to want to be following his commandments that he has given unto us to help us in this time. And if we keep these commandments, again, will be because of the love that we have for him. I'd like to go over into the Book of Mormon. And page 224. I believe I'll start with the third verse here. And this again has been the scripture that I've enjoyed over the years, because it tells us here that we have made, I believe, a commitment before our Heavenly Father, that we are willing to be obedient to his commandments. We want to follow his commandments. And also we know of their surety and truth because of the Spirit of the Lord Omnipotent, which has wrought a mighty change in us, or in our hearts, that we have no more disposition to do evil, but to do good continually. And we ourselves also, through the infinite goodness of God and the manifestations of his Spirit, have great views of that which is to come. And were it expedient, we could prophesy of all things. And it is the faith which we have had on the things which our King has spoken unto us, and has brought us to this great knowledge, whereby we do rejoice with such exceedingly great joy. And we are willing to enter into a covenant with our God, to do his will, and to be obedient to his commandments in all things that he shall command us, all the remainder of our days. And that we may not bring upon ourselves a never-ending torment, as has been spoken by the angel, that we may not drink out of the cup of the wrath of God. And now these are the words which King Benjamin desired of them. And therefore he said unto them, ye have spoken the words that I desired, and the covenant which ye have made is a righteous covenant. And now because of the covenant which ye have made, ye shall be called the children of Christ, his sons and his daughters. For behold, this day he has spiritually begotten you. For ye say that your hearts are changed through faith on his name. Therefore ye are born of him, and ye have become his sons and his daughters. And again, I believe this today we should be so thankful of the love that the Lord has for us, that he has given us these scriptures, his commandments and the scriptures that he has given to us to help us in this time we have here, that we may be doing the things that are pleasing before him, that we be drawing closer unto him, that we are doing his will. In closing, I'd like to read just a couple more scriptures here. First one's in 1 Peter. Or 2 Peter in 1st chapter. In the third verse. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, that ye, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And now I want to go over into the Book of Mormon. Into scripture, and I believe everybody knows where I'm going to go, and this is in the book of Moroni, in the 7th chapter. And it tells us what charity is. And I know that this has been read many, many times, and it's going to be read many more times. But as I read this each time, I wonder, have I got this charity in my life? Does my life show this? And looking and reading this, I know that I need to make changes. I need to pray about this, that I will have this charity. For I know, I'm afraid the way I look at myself anyway, and I judge myself, I find myself lacking. And I know that I need the Lord to help me in this. And I think I'll start with the 45th verse. And again, my beloved brethren, I would speak unto you concerning hope. How is it that you can attain unto faith, save ye shall have hope? And what is it ye shall hope for? Behold, I say unto you, ye shall have hope through the atonement of Christ and the power of his resurrection to be raised unto life eternal. And this because of your faith in him according to the promise. Wherefore, if a man have faith, he must needs have hope. For without faith, there cannot be any hope. And again, behold, I say unto you that ye cannot have faith and hope, Save ye shall be meek and lowly of heart. If so, his faith and hope are vain. For none is acceptable before God, save the meek and lowly of heart. And if a man be meek and lowly in heart, and confesses by the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus is the Christ, he must needs have charity. For if he have not charity, he is nothing. Wherefore he must needs have charity. And charity suffereth long, and is kind, and envieth not, and is not puffed up, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if ye have not charity, ye are nothing, for charity never faileth. Wherefore, cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all, for all things must fail. But charity is the pure love of Christ, and it endureth forever. And whoso is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with them. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart, that ye may be filled with this love which he has bestowed upon all who are the true followers of his Son, Jesus Christ, that ye may become the sons of God, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified, even as he is pure. And that would be my prayer tonight. Thank you.